good. Tell me how you, because we talked about this back in April, but for our new listeners, how did you get interested in the UFO phenomenon?
At the age of 13, show you how old I am, back in 1964, I was growing up in a remote area in East Texas, and I had a fascination with curiosities in the sky, and I joined NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, got their newsletter, the UFO Investigator, every month.
Got your little card?
Yes, and a little card, and that's what sort of started me on this quest to find out answers and to do so as a journalist, which sort of gave me a license over the years to sort of investigate whatever struck my curiosity.
You tied the UFO phenomenon into the human consciousness. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, let me start with what does this book title, Alien in the Mirror, mean?
Mm-hmm.
It has multiple meanings. For one, when we look into, if we think of this phenomenon, whatever it is, as a metaphor, if we look at it from the standpoint of human reactions to it, there's definitely a psychological phenomenon that can be studied about how people react to the unexplained and what they see in the sky or what appears that's unexplainable. So certainly we're looking at the mysteries of our own existence to some extent, who we are, why we are, those sorts of questions. And on another level, another meaning for the title, Alien in the Mirror, if the theory holds true that the human species was seeded on this planet and that our origins are elsewhere, then indeed we are the aliens that we are seeking when we look in the mirror of our collective consciousness and our consensus reality. And then a third meaning is that the title refers to mirror neurons in our brain. It was only in the last two decades that mirror neurons were discovered in the human brain, as well as in the brains of some other intelligent species. And these are specialized cells that are responsible for us being able to feel empathy, empathy for other human beings, empathy for other species. And it's through these particular mirror neurons that we seem to be able, according to neuroscientists, to mimic the behavior of other humans. Animals mimic behavior between them and mimic human behavior that they observe. Babies using mirror neurons mimic behavior. And a theory that over time I've begun to develop is that in a certain sense, maybe these mirror neurons that we all possess and that we possess as a species are what is enabling us to interact with this phenomenon. And I call it the UFO phenomenon, but it's also the paranormal in general, that entire phenomenon. And by way of interaction, what I'm saying is that when we as a species observe something that we can't explain, we of course try to explain it in the context culturally of our belief systems, our conditioning, etc. But maybe something else is going on. Maybe there is an intelligence, a consciousness behind this phenomenon which needs us, needs to interact with us. And through this interaction, this phenomenon is empowered. And in turn, even though it can be frustrating for us and our curiosity gets aroused and we can't explain what we're seeing, but maybe it's empowering us as well as a species to continue to ask the important and relevant questions about who are we and why are we?
Back in the 60s, the late British oceanographer Ivan Sanderson theorized that UFOs were a form of life native to this planet. And he talked about submersible UFOs and everything else. He was into it in a big way, wasn't he?
He was. He's one of those overlooked authors. He was a biologist, well-known and a widely published in the academic world biologist. And I try to find a lot of these overlooked authors to feature in my book. And Sanderson was an interesting character. He wrote a book in 1967 called Uninvited Visitors, in which he made a case that many UFOs are a form of life, a living machine creature that may or may not be native to this planet, but that lives in the atmosphere at times and lives in the oceans at times and has this ability to sort of morph its shape. And a couple of years later, Sanderson wrote another book, which I remember reading when it came out, called Invisible Residents, in which he elaborated on this theory, and he made a case that UFOs have underwater bases in the oceans. And he was one of the first, if not the first, author in this UFO realm to start making a case along that line. And in going back and rereading his books, which I urge everyone to do if you have access to these books, they're pretty rare books these days.
They really are, yeah.
But Sanderson had found a quote from Nikola Tesla, the inventor of the alternating alternate currents. He said this about alien visitation early in the 20th century, and it was something that was quite overlooked by scholars in connection with Tesla. Tesla said, and I'm quoting here from Sanderson's book, "Some intelligent beings from other worlds might be present here in our world, in the very midst of us, for their constitution and life manifestations may be such that we are unable to perceive them." And Sanderson had been inspired by that quote from Tesla, and as a biologist, he had taken that particular idea and sort of run with it in a way that was actually very provocative.
The psychiatrist Carl Jung also had ideas about UFOs way back in the 50s. He was way ahead of his time.
Indeed, he wrote a book in 1959, another book that's quite often overlooked, called Flying Saucers. Yeah. And in that book, he took his theories about the human collective unconscious and he applied it to the UFO phenomenon. And he asked a series of questions that if indeed the collective unconscious of humanity is something that projects, that it's almost like a thought form, a below conscious awareness, and that it connects all of us to each other, maybe it connects us to whatever we're seeing. At that time, it was considered flying saucers, the strange lights in the sky. And he had this idea about archetypes, which are patterns of images and ideas that we as a species hold in common, no matter what culture we were raised in. And he applied this archetype idea to UFOs, or as he called them, flying saucers. We know, for instance, that in his book, he thought perhaps, and he was speculating here, but he thought that UFOs might be a species of a living creature, much like Sanderson did a decade or so later in his books. But ultimately, Carl Jung concluded that UFOs are either a material nuts and bolts type of phenomenon, or it's a psychic projection from humankind's collective unconscious, and it appears to fulfill some religious need that we have to believe in a higher power that rules the universe.
Back in 2002, there was a George Clooney movie that came out, Solaris, that you've looked at too, where he was a troubled psychologist sent to investigate a crew on a research station. And your theme.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, did you see that, George?
It was a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very thought-provoking. It based was on a 1961 science fiction novel by the Polish science fiction writer Stanislaw Lem. And the Russians had gotten a hold of the material and had optioned that particular novel. And the Soviet Union came out with a film that was based on it, which was a very interesting film as well. And then George Clooney got a hold of the material and did a sequel. But the premise for the movie and the book was that the planet Solaris is a sentient being.
Hold that thought right there, Randall. We'll come back and talk about that and much more on Coast to Coast AM.